Psalm 50, verse 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Notice that God is telling us to do something, and he tells us a really significant reason to encourage us to do so. One more time. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. If you pull out your phone and you think to call someone, but it occurs to you that that number is no longer working, or it seems to go to a voicemail that's never answered. Nobody says their name on it. The voicemail's always full. No one ever answers. Or you just have a person that you know, that person never answers. Would you be inclined to try to call them? You'd probably stop calling. You probably wouldn't even think of making a phone call. Beloved, one of the reasons that we don't pray enough is because we don't feel like God is listening to us. We don't feel like he will respond to us or that he will answer. We act as if he's not there or as if he's preoccupied with other things. We think maybe he just doesn't care to answer. We must remember what I've seen on signs, artwork in people's homes, a pastor's home I have a memory of in Pennsylvania. Prayer changes things. We must remember prayer changes things, but why is it? How can we know that? Prayer changes things because God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God beckons us to call on him for help with the promise that he will help us. That's the idea of our verse today, I submit to you, the main idea of the verse. God beckons us to call on him for help with the promise that he will help us. The word trouble in the Hebrew could be translated distress. The word deliver sometimes could be translated equip. It isn't that the Lord is necessarily going to deliver us completely out of something, but that he will deliver us through it to the other side. God promises he will deliver you from your distress, through your distress, as a motivation for you to call upon him to do so. He wants you to know he's listening. He wants you to know he is answering. He wants you to know he will deliver you when you cry out to him to do so. We know to believe and trust that he answers according to his own time and in his own ways, but we have to be careful not to let that to cause us to forget to be praying continually that he would, because he uses prayer. And this is so often where a psalm begins and ends. Lord, help me. And then God helped me. God is helping me again. So this psalm has that idea of the Lord delivering us and delivering his church as we cry out to him to do so. Look at verses 2-6 with me of Psalm 50. Out of Zion. Now Zion is a way of referring to the church. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. And now look at verse 23 at the end. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now notice that if you are praising the Lord, if you're offering praise and glorifying him, that's even in our verse 15, call upon him, he will deliver us, and the result should be that we'll glorify him. And that's a glorious reason to ask him, Lord, deliver me that I can glorify you as the deliverer. Give me another testimony, another experiential testimony of delivering me through my troubles and distresses that I can give glory to you for delivering me again. So that's another motivation, not just that he would deliver us, but so that we can glorify him as our great deliverer. How did you get through that, one might ask? And your answer can be, God delivered me through it. Praise his name. I cried out to him, and he answered and delivered. This is only for those in covenant relationship with God, though. Notice, offering praise, glorifying me. Those that order their conversation aright. We know from other scriptures and other sermons that we won't dwell on them today, but we know that God answers according to his will. God answers as we pray through Christ. God does not answer prayers that are against his will or that are for sinful reasons. And God sometimes answers in a way that is different than we might expect, but it is an answer, and it's the best answer. But it's for those who are Christians. We know that scriptures even say, if we ask with sin in our heart, God will not regard our prayers. And so we see here in the psalm, verses 16 to 22, those who are wicked and who do not listen to God will not be heard or helped by God. There's no reason to expect God to hear us if we are not listening to him, if we are not his people. He answers his people. He shines out of Zion. He is with those who order their conversations aright by him. This doesn't mean we earn it, doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means we're in relationship with him. And that is manifested in our crying out to him to be delivered, namely from our sins. And beloved, as we do ask God to deliver us, let us remember that even our ailments and our troubles are a reminder that God delivers us from infirmities ultimately in the resurrection. But what we need to be delivered from the most is our iniquities, lest we not be delivered at all at the resurrection from our infirmities. And we always need to be crying out to God, and we should be praying to God more than anything else, deliver me from this sin. Deliver me from this horrible habit. Deliver me from this temptation, as we're taught to say in the Lord's Prayer. Trusting, he wants us to pray that way because he wants to answer that way. For the humble Christian, for the humble church who is hurting, remember what we've been seeing as we've reviewed in our morning readings on the Lord's Day, Exodus 1 through 4. The people are in very great distress. They are in a very great trouble, and they are crying out to God, and God answers. God says, tell the people that I have heard their cry. It's been a long time, but tell them I've heard it, and I am now getting ready to answer and deliver, and in a really big way that will what? That will show to Pharaoh and the world that he is the only true God, that he is the one true Lord. But he will answer, and he delivers. In his book entitled Everyday Prayer with the Puritans, Donald K. McKim writes, the psalmist in this psalm, the psalmist recorded a key text about God and prayer when God said, Psalm 50, verse 15. Let me read that for us again. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So McKim says, the psalmist recorded a key text about God and prayer. This is a key text about God in prayer, verse 15 of Psalm 50. He says, God's promises are reliable. God says, call on me. God tells us to call on him. McKim quotes David Dixon, who writes, what more absolute promise can be made to a believing supplicant? What more absolute promise can be made to a believing supplicant? What he's saying is, God says to call on him, and then he says, I will answer you. I will deliver you. David Dixon is saying again, I mean, what more motivation do we need to pray than that God says, call on me and I will deliver you. God give us faith. He's going to deliver us his way, his time, but he will. And he uses our prayers as part of the process of delivery. But again, what more could God say than I will answer? What more that could he say than I will deliver? Just as we could say, what more do I need to say to you to call me on the phone than that I will be there and I will answer at any moment, day or night, call me, it doesn't matter when. And if you need me, I will be there to bring you to the hospital, to watch the kids, whatever it is. We're so inclined to call someone in our time of need who we know means it, is there, does answer, and is good to follow through on their promise. And God is saying, do this. That's who I am. That's what I will do. Pray and ask me to deliver you. Why? Because I will do exactly that. That's motivation to pray. Pray God's promises, as the Puritans teach us. By the way, David Dixon is one of those Puritans. He wrote The Sum of Saving Knowledge, which is an accompaniment inclusion in our Westminster Standards as we have them. He also wrote a commentary on the standards. In this case, the elementary foundation is that God says he will actually answer. He will actually deliver. He doesn't give any disclaimers. He doesn't give any exception clauses. He doesn't said, but he says, call on me and I'll deliver you. So, beloved, pray in earnest to be rescued by your Redeemer, for he will respond. Cry out to God in all your trials, for he will deliver you through each day and through every moment. And I want to encourage you to particularly be thinking about that. Pray just to be delivered from that moment. Just as we studied recently together, don't worry about tomorrow. Let the beast be sufficient. Ask God to help you in that moment. Maybe it's, deliver me from this anxiety right now, Lord. Deliver me from my fear at this moment, Lord. Deliver me from the pain at this moment. Sometimes, just ask the Holy Spirit at that moment to comfort you at that very moment of your need and expect that he will. Expect to be comforted. Expect to find that you will be comforted by his real, reliable, reassuring presence right then and there. And I emphasize that because I've had to do that. That's the only really thing we could hope for, is help me through the moment, at this moment, right now, Lord. And I drew on that to minister to someone this week, and I had the testimony to say, every time we asked that, God did. Every time we said, Holy Spirit, you're the comforter, please just help us with this pain right now, that it would pass. Help us with this sorrow. Help us with this fear or depression. Help us at this moment, Lord, just right now. We'll trust you for the next moment. At this moment, right now, please deliver me from the devil's attack. And trust that he will. Maybe that's what we need to work on a lot more. Not asking and worrying so much about being delivered from some future thing, being delivered from this moment, moment by moment. And each of the next moments that you need his relief, and he says, I'll be right there. I'll deliver you. I will. And there's a special fellowship that comes when you learn to ask the Lord to help you each moment along the way and experience that, again, you cannot call him too many times. You know how that goes? I always joke to some of you, oh, thanks for answering your phone. I'm surprised you haven't blocked me by now. You know, those days where I might call you back 5 times in a row within 10 minutes. Oh, I forgot to ask this. And it's such an encouragement, and I'm not afraid to do that because you answer or you reply. You're available. And that's what God said. You can't call me too many times. You're not going to get a busy signal. It's not going to go to voicemail. You're not going to wonder if I got the message. I'll be there. The Holy Spirit, your counselor, I'm there in and with you, and I will answer. And remember Romans 8, if you don't know what to say, I'll even groan for you when you don't have words. And the Father will hear and answer and respond. Do so trusting that God will answer and use your prayers as part of how he transitions you, but also as part of how he transforms you. There's a lot to be said by the Puritans about how prayer is about God, but it's just about just as much about us and what God does to us through those prayers, time with him. At some point, as you turn to the Lord and you learn more and more to cry out to him, believing in his promise that he will answer and he will deliver, you will be able to say, this will be your testimony more and more. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, that we sang this morning. I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And as you saw when we sang it, the psalm went on to say all these different ways the Lord had delivered him. See, as you learn to call and believe, and he does answer and deliver, you learn to keep doing it more and more, and you thank him for it. We're told in our Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon the Lord, because he will hear and answer you. He will deliver you. Psalm 116, 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because he did. So there's testimony there. He did. He answers prayers. This can be your ever-increasing testimony as you learn more and more to pray without ceasing, moment by moment, deliverance by deliverance. And not only will you see how God answered you for what you asked, but also how he guided you through things from which you never thought to ask for deliverance in the first place. Donald McKim writes, some things we pray about, perhaps in fear or dread, never happen. Those are God's answers to our prayers, if only we will recognize them as such. Or we may forget our prayers about something, only to realize much later that our prayers were answered. He adds, the Puritans kept written records of the answers to their prayers. And I wish, if I had more time, I could probably go through my old seminary notes on my computer, but I couldn't help but remember at a Reformation Society event, I think that's what it was in Pittsburgh many years ago, there was a conference on prayer, and there was this seasoned minister, who I expect may be retired by now, and he was sharing about God's answering his prayers, and he went through page after page of his prayer journal, what he asked for, and the specific date and time that God answered. And he started crying, and we started crying. I cried the whole way home. And, you know, shame on me, I haven't done it. But he had all, not only his prayers requested, but dates of answered prayers. And when you start to look at all those answered prayers, you say Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he's answered my prayers, all these prayers he's answered, even prayers I didn't know to ask, he's given to me. And then you remember to say, yeah, God answers, God answers, God delivers, I will call upon him once more. Perhaps we should begin to keep prayer journals and then look back over their pages and realize how often God, in fact, does and always does answer us in our prayers. Deliver us from our trials so that we may pray more. Beloved, be motivated to listen to God and talk with God. Seek him out to get you out of all your troubles. Because this is the truth. He will. This is the promise. He's listening. He answers. Call on God because he will deliver you. What has been troubling you this week? What has been troubling you this morning? What's troubling you at this moment? call on God. And then when it troubles you 15 minutes from now, call on him again to deliver you through those moments of despair and distress, trusting he will deliver you through those big moments along the way, praising the Lord that he will deliver us from evil, praising the Lord that he will deliver us from this world. He will return. There will be a resurrection. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we will be in that place praising him. I love the Lord because he answered all my prayers. He delivered me and us from everything. What might be your fears or distresses or concerns as a family, in your workplace, in school? What might be your fears or worries or concerns as it relates to we, the church, our denomination? Pray without ceasing. Call upon God, believing he is ready to answer. He will deliver you. Again, David Dixon, what more absolute promise can be made to a believing supplicant? Beloved, call on God because he will deliver you. Let us call upon God because he will deliver us. Let us pray. O Lord God, we do call upon you and pray that you would indeed direct our steps. Direct our eyes unto the hills and the heavens to remind us to call upon you, for our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We confess we are often distracted by our distresses and depression. We are often led astray. We often bring ourselves into deeper, dire straits because we don't call upon you. Perhaps we are concerned not to seem to trouble you. How silly. You are God Almighty. We are called upon to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. You are our Father in heaven that knows our needs before we even ask, and yet you call upon us to ask. Seek and ye shall find. Ask, it will be given unto you. We ask primarily, Lord, that you would deliver us from our sins and our sinful habits and the effects of sin in our minds and bodies. We pray, Lord, that you will deliver our families and our church from sinful things, from the domain of darkness and the principalities of this world. We ask, O Lord, that you would deliver us from our trials and troubles. Pray that you would help us to trust that you will deliver us from Egypt in new ways. You will deliver us through new red seas and through the wilderness. And we'll be amazed how you provide manna from heaven. We'll be amazed at how you provide drink as we're thirsty in the desert. We'll be amazed at how our sandals do not wear out. O Lord God, increase our faith that we would ask more. Let us be more like children who do not hesitate to run to dad and mom, asking all the time for anything that comes to mind. We know you have to say no, Lord, but even those no's are answered prayers to what's best for us. We know there are times of delay, but you are not delaying. We are just waiting, and in our dependence upon you and our lack of omniscience, we don't understand, and sometimes we struggle to believe that you hear. Lord, forgive us. Sometimes we just get tired to ask. We get tired to keep asking. But let us remember when you give the examples, Lord Jesus, of prayer, that the woman who kept asking, the judge got an answer. The neighbor who kept knocking on the door got an open door and bread for his visitor. Lord, let us remember that when we ask for a fish, that's what you'll give us. You won't give us a scorpion when we ask for an egg. You won't give us a stone when we ask for bread. You are our Father. We are your children. And Lord, we do pray that you would deliver us from our ailments. We do ask, as you have many times, that you will heal. We pray also, Lord, that you would indeed deliver us from our fears and our anxieties, for they often overtake us. Let us learn to obey your command, Lord. Answer this prayer, that we would focus on the moment, moment by moment, learning to commune with you, Holy Spirit, in ways we have neglected. Learning how even to fellowship with you, Lord Jesus, in your sufferings and in the power of your resurrection. Setting our attention to heavenly things. Setting our heart on things above. Setting our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And our desire to bring glory to God the Father, which is our chief end. Lord, make us people of prayer. Make us prayer warriors. Let us be people who are in very close communion with God through Christ and by the Spirit. And we close praying as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.